You know, I feel so free up here.
Costs a lot to live this free.
Stop whatever you're doing. Put down the spatula. Get ready for our show this week. Here in the house, it's happening, everybody. We're here for another week of Mormon news, commentary, banter, humor.
What? Put down the spatula because you think the only thing I'm good for is cooking.
That's
and
exactly
cleaning, Jeff.
Right. We know who our audience is. Housewives with nothing else to do. Am I right? That's who's listening.
Looking at you, Kurt Frankum. Looking at you.
All you bored moms just sitting around wishing your man weren't at work.
Well, here. How are you, McKay Coppins? Well, good. I hope so.
I know that when McKay listens every week, he wonders how we'll insult him next.
And the best part is that he'll angrily write a review on iTunes, then delete it, and then write it and delete it 100 times.
That review we have on iTunes about us being Vivint Bros, maybe that was by him. That must be a McKay thing.
That was a very hateful review. Do not call me a Vivint Bro.
No, if anything, I'm a Domo Bro now.
Why are you a Domo Bro?
Al, as you well know, I am currently in Utah, and you are currently in Utah, yet we are not recording this in the same room. But as
that always causes trouble when we try and record in the same room.
Yeah. I've been here in Utah / Idaho for a week, and I've learned much about the organization known as Domo, headquartered in American Fork, and apparently everyone I've ever met works there, at least as far as Utah people go.
Is that true?
Well, no, because you don't work there. But it's
Josh James does pay a healthy salary in that place.
It seems that many people are working there. This was a company to which I was ignorant. And now I've come to know much more about the value of Domo.
What have you come to know? Tell me about Domo. Tell me what you've learned.
I don't fully understand exactly what kind of analytics they offer or how they present it or such.
They just chart. They don't offer any analytics.
They chart things for you. They take your information and they're basically data visualization, right? That's the jam.
Yeah. For tens of thousands of dollars a year.
Yeah. That's where the money is, man.
You got to charge them dollars.
That's also, apparently it's the place to work. I will be reassessing my career trajectory so that I too can be a part of the Domo
fund. See, everybody I know are ex-Domo employees. They've all left in a fit of rage because Josh James would not give them the creative license to go and build the product they wanted to build.
Oh.
Imagine being a designer and having to go into your CEO's office to show him your designs every day and say, "Do you like how this got designed?" Says no, no, no. Yes, no. Yes, yes. No, no, no.
Just like that.
Hire a head product designer and have him design it.
Now, if our voices are a little groggy, we're recording this very early in the morning after a fierce evening together of laser tag and bowling.
We play laser tag.
We are an exhausted people. We, you know, all the screaming and the laughing and the tickling.
I was there with my woman of choice and Jeff. This was a three-way laser tag.
Three-way laser tag. We had the whole thing to ourselves.
We came in and I said, "Don't let any children in, and I'd like this for the full 12 minutes." And he said, "Yes, sir."
It felt longer than 12 minutes to me.
It really did. I was building a fire. I set up a fort and raised a flag in one of the corners. They'll find some shrapnel over there that I dragged over there to build defenses. By the end, I was just like trying to build. I was playing more Civilization than I was.
Right. Well, yeah. Or SimCity.
Laser tag.
I have to wonder if the employee might have stretched out the, the dubstep music a little while longer. And
you think he did us a solid? He seemed like a guy that was cutting us a deal.
I think so. I'm going to say something that'll definitely identify him. So, white guy from Lehigh.
Hello.
You know
okay.
who you are. Thank you for the extra time we had in there. I was
no,
quite
was great.
Exhausted
I walked
afterwards.
In. I was like, I want to see this laser tag course. And he was like, okay. And he opens the vault. And then I walk. And I'm like, yes, 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 this will do fine.
That part was actually hilarious. You were inspecting it like you're going to throw a gala or something.
And he just let me right in there, man. The guy was great.
I know.
Didn't Pardon me, I'm getting some Oreos. Don't mind this noise.
Nothing says breakfast like Oreos.
No, I'm three Oreos and a bottle of Soylent. I'm all on the Soylent train, Jeff.
Okay. The idea behind Soylent is that you only have the Soylent. You deprive yourself of Oreos and just have Soylent. That's the point of it.
Is that how it goes?
Yeah.
I don't think that's right.
Soylent was designed either for people, weight loss is one thing, but also people who just don't have time to think about food. The right. Mark Zuckerbergs of food, if you will.
That's like, me. I'm Mark Zuckerberg of food. That's an excellent description.
That's how I describe it. That's why last night we went to Texas Roadhouse, my friend.
We did go to Texas. I love Texas Roadhouse. It's for $10. You get that 6 ounce sirloin, just a few bites of meat. You get a great house salad. The house salad is fantastic. Put a little blue cheese dressing on there, and then a baked potato. You're in. That's a full meal. You eat that whole baked potato, you're full. You get some meat on top, you're happy. Dip it in that little house sauce they've got, that and little fake A1.
Al, would you describe our server to the listeners? Because you had a special relationship with her.
No, our server. Yeah, there are people. I actually have one that works for me. How are you, Caleb? These are people that are overly formal to the point of being annoying. Right, so you have these like she's like, oh,
hi, Caleb.
Hello, dear sir. How is it that you are thus come to dine with us this fine eve? And I'm like, shut up. And she's like, oh, is your plate doth full? And may I take it? I do not want you to have an empty plate in front of thee. And I'm like, why are you saying thee? Just stop it. What are you doing? Oh, dear sir, don't call me sir. What are you doing? This is weird.
She thought it was some kind of Renaissance fair in Provo, yeah. But we weren't in Provo.
No, if you don't lead with a turkey leg, you do not get to say thou and dear sir and how mayest aunt thee and thine.
Yeah, she was quite obsequious, I would say.
Obsequious. There's
interesting. You know, I was like, even when I was finishing, I was very confused by her mannerisms. I agree. She was thorough, did the job. She upsold me to get some marshmallow on my baked potato. So well played there.
She always asked if she was allowed to top off our water. Would you allow me to top off your water? May I fill your water? I'm like, you're a dang waitress. That's your whole job. You have no reason to exist if you're not filling my water. Just reach and grab the glass. Hello, sir. May I feel thy water? Why are you interrupting my conversation talking about water?
Oh, and I'm sure we were having riveting conversation. You know, in between my son screaming at all the passersby.
I don't know what you're talking about. Your son was fine. He was fairly silent the entire night. He never talked once.
He's afraid. Yeah, he gets less chatty at evening when he goes out. If you're out with him in the morning, he won't shut up. But when he gets tired, you know, he just kind of hangs out.
I feel like you're making excuses.
It sounds like I'm making it. Basically, I'm sad that we can't do breakfast.
You wish your son would have been chattier. I wish my girlfriend would have been chattier. We all wish that more chat would have happened. It was a hard life, Jeff. It was a hard life.
Oh, man. Anyway, Utah, you've been very good to me.
You went up to Idaho. Your brother sealed the deal, huh?
Yeah, my brother got sealed over the weekend, which was a pretty awesome family adventure. Honestly, that was a great time all around. We got an Airbnb in Rexburg, so it was way more fun because my extended family that came in, all of us were just in a house together. You know, it's like what families do.
Did you end up taking motorcycles out to the dunes?
I could only wish. No. I was looking for anything with the brand Polaris on it, as far as I could see, but. No dice, no dunes.
I thought that was most of the cars in Rexburg had the brand Polaris
it seems
on
that
it.
Anyway, it was a good time, man. I had a lot of family out there. We all hung out.
That's great.
Lived the dream. Yeah, it was great. It was fun to be able to hang with everybody in a house. The house had a trampoline, so I had a great
in the house
there.
A trampoline room.
Sadly, it was in the backyard, open sky.
Not as cool.
You know, Idaho, big sky country, everything like that.
I don't think that's right.
And. I was jumping on the trampoline, and I'd see neighborhood people walking by, and I called to them, and I said, hello, neighbors, hello. I will say that Rexburg neighbors are not friendly. They did not return my salutations. I've heard that Mormons are a friendly people. And it turns out they are not, except for the kid at the grocery store who offered to walk us to our car with his umbrella.
Oh.
He was very nice.
Was he just some child?
He was an employee, but that's a level of service from a bagger that you don't normally see. Also, you don't normally even see baggers anymore.
to push this, you don't see bags.
You know,
most
no
places
there
just give you the boxes
anymore.
Now that you can grab and fill it. Aldi's, yeah. I'm looking at you.
Yeah, Rexburg's like blown up though, man. Since last time I was up there, it's crazy. It's way bigger.
I don't know. I think I've been through. No, when you and I went through there 5 years ago was the last time I went in there.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I've missed the thing. Everybody I've talked to, I'm like, is it still just urban sprawl? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, okay, got it.
Yeah, urban sprawl in Rexburg. It basically shocks you that it takes at least a little bit of time to drive across Rexburg now. Such was not always the case.
It's true.
Speaking of Guy Mathias, there he is, Guy
Mathias. Don't be distracted. Eyes here, Jeff. Eyes on me.
What's up, bro?
Don't. So anyway, I'm sure you're interested.
I think he's having a bath.
You never asked, but I had a great week.
Going in for the big drink.
I was in Missouri. Well, we had our 8th birthday bash for the company.
We talked about this last night. I don't need to catch up on your life.
I hate you so much.
I'm just kidding.
I hate you so much.
Yeah, you had the birthday bash. Was it better than the 7th? Was it better than year 7?
It was. Bigger, better, more people, more activities. Our town is finally, we had a magician, Jeff. We had a magician, and it was amazing. He stood out there in the heat, did only Alliance-approved tricks, and I was very impressed.
Of course.
Very happy. I kept shouting for the Aztec tomb, and he didn't get the reference.
That's when you know you can't commit to that relationship.
No, absolutely. I don't know what to do with that guy.
Now, was he a wandering magician or did he do a show? There's two kinds of magicians.
Some dude that shows up and is like, hey, kids, want to see some tricks? That guy, I'm like, move along, drifter.
I mean, like, since you have like a big outdoor
move
party,
along,
you walk around
drifter.
And just kind of do low-level street
tricks. No, we pulled up a trailer, and he stood on the trailer and did his show. That's our stage, the big trailer.
That sounds like he was a snake oil salesman.
Yeah.
But in magician.
Hurry. Step right up. I'll take your dollars and make them disappear. No, that was more.
Any notable tricks? Did he do anything cool? I mean, was he at a David Copperfield?
I'm a grown man with a beard. I can't stand to watch magic. I just saw that we had a magician.
You don't like magic? I love magic shows. When they're good.
I'll watch a Penn and Teller show, but I will not watch a David Blaine or a Chris Mind Freak.
No, you have to watch Chris Angel. He's a mind freak, Al.
I just can't do
it. He's a mind freak.
No, it's not in me. Not
the man is a freak of the mind. Do you understand?
Yeah, no, I understand, but no.
I'm going to Vegas in October. Maybe I'll look up some David Blaine, or better yet, actually, Lionel Richie will now have an in-residence show for a while in Vegas. I don't have to go to
You're the only man I will know that has seen Lionel Richie twice in his lifetime.
I would see Lionel Richie every weekend if I were allowed to.
How can you stand that
He's
music?
A brilliant showman, and his songs
It might
are so
be a brilliant
good.
Showman, but he's awful.
He's not awful. His songs have heart. He has heart, and he sells it to the crowd. He knows.
Anyway, Jeff,
when
we have
Mormon
things.
He gets up there and plays the piano ballad version of Hello just with himself, and you feel the emotion.
What if he brought John Schmidt on to play with him?
You know how when you read Alma 32 and it talks about the swelling motions that you feel? The swelling motions?
I went to Mumford & Sons on Monday night, and every time they'd start playing the piano, I'd start shouting for John Schmidt. And and I had like three guys that got me. And they would laugh with me. But
you're like, waterfall!
Because they do some piano solos, and I'm like, I love this one! John Schmidt!
Wait,
Waterfall,
Mumford
do that
Mumford
one for me.
Mumford & Sons do piano solos? Are they a jam band live? Do they
no,
like
so,
to?
So the problem that I have with Mumford & Sons is they've turned into the they don't have enough banjo anymore.
Yeah, I know what you mean there.
They went all rock and they have a whole album with no banjo, and so nobody knows those songs or cares to know those songs, and they still play them. And I'm like, you can tell everybody hates you when you play this stuff. Just play the good stuff. And they're like, well, we'll play some of it.
All right, but in their defense.
And I kept waiting for that African one, the hit to my night and I. And they never played it, but I kept calling for it. And nobody gave me any love.
In Mumford & Sons' defense, they made two albums that sounded virtually identical, so they had to do something different for the third.
No. They keep doing identical songs. I just want more of the same. That was what their fan base loves. Literally, I mean, imagine everybody singing along to every word for like three songs in a row, and then he's like, and here's one of our new ones. This is my own song I wrote. And we're like, this sucks.
Understand, there's a balancing act. Not everyone can be the Eagles when you just play the hits, and that's what people want to hear. Many bands care about pleasing the audience, but they still care about their own artistry, and so they still want to expand and explore different musical avenues.
Jeff, if I may, Mumford & Sons has no artistry.
Let me explain.
They're just folksy hacks that are trying to make some money.
As one who, from the notable band 2 years later.
Right. You've traveled with the band before.
If you listen between the first and second albums, there was delightful growth in between the two. You have to grow as an artist, but while staying.
It's sort of like the story of Jimmy Eat World as they came to be, or the Get Up Kids as they learned how to sing.
Jimmy Eat World was more like a great rise up through Clarity and then just kind of a slow. Just kind of whatever.
That's what happened with Mumford & Sons. That's what I'm saying. The artistry is crap.
Jimmy Eat World, every 3 years, releases an album like clockwork. Every 3 years, and every 3 years, the album now is basically just the same album over and over again. I'm deeply disappointed in them. They don't take risks anymore. It's very sad.
Yeah. Like Mumford & Sons took a risk and failed. So there's bad advice both ways.
All right. Anyway, let's crank out some pre-conference Mormon news. Sorry. During conference Mormon news.
No, they're getting this tonight, and then they'll be able to listen tomorrow and Friday before conference.
Yeah, but we are sort of in conference now because it did start on Saturday with the women's conference.
Wait, you watched the debate this week, right?
Yeah, I listened to most of it. Yes. We were driving back from Provo. Lovely town, by the way. You've done good things there.
Nothing surprising there. I think we all saw everything coming. There's now,
I think I caught,
this is worth note. Uh-huh. A Mormons for Hillary. It's official. They're an actual.
That's good.
Yay.
I'm okay with that.
No, I think really everybody should be okay with it. There should be a Mormons from every political party. We take them all. The weird lady with Greenpeace, we got room for her. Sure.
I think we should have some words for the Trump supporters among us, because you're there. Folks, you need to really think about what
No, Jeff. I am as anti-Trump as anybody, but I'm also anti-Hillary. I can appreciate the dilemma they are in trying to choose between these two.
This is the thing. This is the thing. And I agree with you. You can appreciate the dilemma. That's fine. But the problem is Trump's supporters, other than the core ones that he's had all along, the ones he's pandered to, everybody else is basically only anti-Hillary or just voting for him because he's the Republican nominee.
Right.
I've yet to see anyone passionate about
No, you vote the party ticket. You understand how elections go. You vote up and down the ticket. You say, I'm a Republican, whoever they got. Boom.
Which is silly.
It is absolutely silly. It's disappointing, but this is the American way.
And what has been very interesting while I've been here in Utah, I've done some informal polling, just in meeting friends and talking to people.
We call it agitating those at the dinner table, but yes.
About whether or not they know who Evan McMullen is. Because we know our buddy McMullen.
He got the twin bump. We bumped him.
Right? He's going to get those handful of electoral college votes from Utah, and that's going to make all the difference. That's been the plan. But I actually thought he would be more buzzed about while I've been here in Utah. But lay people don't seem to know who he is, which proves much of my theory that outside of DC politico circles of the Mormon variety, nobody knows who
he is. No one has any idea who the man is. He's a handsome man who will probably get married because he ran for the presidential office.
If he doesn't get dates out of this, that's just a shame. But what I find interesting about this is there are many Mormons who are reluctantly voting for Trump, right? Now, if you do have a candidate like McMullen, like for real, and he's basically this year's Mitt Romney, like why are so many of them not actually just going to go support McMullen and try to make
this is all the rhetoric of a throwaway vote being a independent or anybody other than one of the two primary candidates.
But in a place
this is the
like
Gary
Utah,
Johnson dilemma, Jeff. This is the Gary Johnson dilemma.
I agree with you, but in a place like Utah, of all places, you would think there could be enough of a groundswell.
Oh, we're full of risk takers in Utah. Is that it?
You would think they could say, we, because I have seen that Utahns don't like Trump for the most part. Most people seem to very much roll their eyes at the mere mention of Trump. And yet, why are they not all rallying behind this beautiful, shaven-head man who may bring them to
They almost made a run with Gary Johnson, but Gary Johnson might be too renegade.
I think Gary kind of peaked already.
Yeah.
The interest in him just sort of came and went. So now we're just stuck in a Hillary Trump world. So I don't get you, Trump supporters. When you, if you have the option of McMullen, then support McMullen. Why would you not support the one who actually goes with your typical
Jeff, nobody conservative views? The politics of people this year, no one understands.
Yeah, did you just see that the Arizona Republic, one of the most conservative papers in the country, endorsed Hillary Clinton?
Oh, well, yeah. I've seen a lot of conservatives endorse Hillary Clinton.
They endorsed
Hillary Clinton. They're afraid of Trump and vice versa. Staunch Republicans would sooner die than vote for Hillary.
I know, which is funny because really in the end, I'm not like a lover of Hillary. I don't think Hillary Clinton would be that consequential of a president. I don't think she has any relatively radical policy ideas. People talk about like she's going to bring in socialism when really she's more of a centrist than Obama on policy.
Yeah. We can't go too much here just because nobody cares, but
yeah. The Mormon position is very difficult here, folks.
It's very difficult. It's a tough one. A tough cookie.
But don't vote for Trump. That's all I'm saying.
And don't vote for Hillary.
Figure something else out.
But you have to vote.
If you want, don't vote for Hillary.
Vote for somebody.
This is not the TWIM perspective. This is the Jeff perspective. I will say not voting for Trump is more important than not voting for Hillary. And it's fine to say don't vote for both.
Yeah.
But Trump is, it's more important.
The number one, don't vote for Trump. Number two, don't vote for Hillary. Number three, vote. And good luck with
number three, vote for Evan McMullen. Number four, vote for Gary
Johnson. This I learned too. A write-in doesn't count. It doesn't matter. There is no write-in campaign.
Not usually. Yeah, not typically. It depends on electoral law.
So talk to me, Jeff. Talk to me about, what do we want to do? Let's do general conference first.
All right.
General conference has already started according to some ways of how this goes.
According to feminists, General Conference has already begun.
Feminists like Dieter Uchtdorf?
Heard of him? Who could not resist some plane stories during his remarks. Couldn't resist. He almost went the whole way through, but he couldn't help himself.
Did he giggle as he told him? I didn't get to listen.
It's almost like a wink and a nod at this point, right? Like he brings it up and he's like, I know what you're thinking. You want some airplane. And I'm going to give it to you.
He sounds like a Louisiana hillbilly now instead of a German pilot.
That's right. Would you like some of my bourbon?
I know what you're thinking. Y'all want some airplane.
Why? We need like a Southern apostle. Remember, that's what we need.
Oh, dude. Somebody from the South of you. Well, everybody.
Remember how delightful
I've gathered you to hear today.
Well, we've had Neil Marriott up there. Speaking in this delightful Southern Belle accent all the time, like, oh, brothers and sisters, I'm so happy to be here.
Wait, who is this? Who are you impersonating?
Neil F. Marriott.
Oh, brothers
and sisters. It's a woman, you twerp. It's not a man.
It's the weirdest accent I've ever heard you do.
You know, as it turns out, I don't do a very good accent otherwise.
You're only good for a walk.
You know, She's still there. She's in the young women's.
So give me a summary of the women's sessions.
Okay, I was not able to watch it live, but I listened to it when driving back down from Idaho. Oddly enough, the Mormon Channel app did not even have the talk by Jean B. Bingham of the primary presidency, so I have no idea what she said. So I'm not even going to speak about it. Not to knock it, but hey, I blame the church for this one. If you want me to hear the talk,
put it on the
put it in
radio.
The app. So then Carol Stevens, who's in the Relief Society General Presidency, spoke about a lot of things, but she really seemed to focus in on how to find happiness and how not to dwell on the everyday minutia that can naturally depress us and drag us down, and especially not let the actions of others drag us down. So she really wanted to talk about like feeling relief from sorrow and from sin. And how, you know, the sins and the unrighteous actions of others against us don't have a right to give us permanent pain. And she even talked about, like, hey, even if you need to get professional help, which seems like a minor, and it was just kind of a passing comment, but I think that professional help can be so stigmatized sometimes in our our faith community.
That's good.
That it's great that there was a mention of that to say, you know, hey, it's not all bishops, as wonderful as they are, and as much as they do go to training, are still not trained, certified counselors in that sense, right? And so if you need professional help, then get professional help and be healed.
Seems novel.
That's part of the healing. Yeah. I mean, the atonement's what heals us, but we need to seek every option we have to work through things. So that was pretty good. Sister Oscarson, the Young Women General President, spoke about all sorts of things. She kind of ran all over the place. I would say what stuck out the most were her remarks sort of about that we've become so concerned with offending people or certain segments of the church that we kind of neuter our own remarks in a way so as not to alienate.
Was this a wink? Was this a wink at Donald Trump? Was she saying, I got you?
I hope so. And I totally understand what she's saying with that. And I get it, because we need to be sensitive to the needs of all the different segments within our community.
Well, you and I have talked about this, though. But of course. Like, there's certain issues. It's like, we can't comment on this at all. There is no way that we could make a comment that has any place here. Something like, I mean, there's a lot of issues going on that we just excuse ourselves from completely, whether or not we believe in them or that we feel like they're right. It's just like, no, we're actually excluded from being allowed to have to comment on this, it's kind of a hard place to be,
yeah,
to sort of sift through all that and feel like you can still be a part of dialogue or discourse.
Absolutely. I mean, it's very easy to say, hey, you know, why are you still railing on marriage when it's a ward full of single sisters over 31? That's a very minor example. Which you talked about, of course, you know, defending the family, some of the more core tenets of the gospel. But this did make me take pause and think, like, how do we address these things in a way that we stand by what needs to be addressed and don't avoid it out of fear of offending people or alienating them, but still do it in a way that makes people feel included. And that is a bit more of a balancing act.
Marriage in a singles ward is an interesting one, right? Where, like, it has such a stigma that it never gets talked about. I mean, I'd go years without a marriage talk. But everybody jokes about it. It was like called to serve in the MTC. Everybody's like, oh, no, we're singing this again. It's like, when we were there, we ended up singing it like four times.
That's exactly what it is. It's just like singing called to serve in the MTC. Why are we singing this song?
Everybody talks about it like it's sung all the time. We got it like four times in 3 months. Like, it almost never got put in the queue. And I was like,
we sing called to serve all the time. But I'll say, like, as a side note, by the end of my mission, singing called to serve was like one of my favorite powerful experiences at the end of a zone conference or zone leader meetings and stuff, and you're all there. And because in Spanish it has four verses, so you really have more time to kind of get the steam. Yeah, the two verses are not enough in English. We need more verses. Because by the time you're at the end of verse four in Spanish, and Elder McConkie has upped the key a full step on his own, transposing on the fly, you are feeling it, man.
Elder McConkie, what a guy.
And we'd sing the alto harmonies on da 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 da. Anyway. good food for thought from Sister Oscarson, and President Uchtdorf in many ways sucked up to his wife. He told the great story of
He met his wife on a cool flight to Israel. She was the stewardess and came back and offered him a ginger ale, and he said, I can offer you so much more. Marry me.
Is that what it was?
Wait, what was it, for real?
I think President Uchtdorf has such a good sense of humor. We could probably get him to say that was the story if we were interviewing him. He'd roll with it. No, the main deal is he told the story of missionaries in Europe who, you know, both of us know how this is, who went to knock a building, right? They got in the building. They decide to knock the building. You and I have both done lots of building knocking.
Yeah. And proselyting.
Anyone who served in Europe knows how that differs from knocking in, you know, tract housing and stuff like that. And, you know, they went through the first floor, no luck. And I've been there, and rather than quit, they kept going up the floors. And it wasn't until they got to the last door on the fourth floor, all the way on the top, that there was a girl who answered the door, and she kind of listened and was like, okay, let me talk to my mom. And the mom was like, no, we're busy. But the girl said, Mom, they're really nice. They've got, like, something to share. Let's have them in. Those people got baptized. And it turns out the girl who opened the door was one Harriet Uchtdorf today. And obviously he was not the missionary, but Uchtdorf was a deacon in the ward in which they got baptized, and she caught his eye.
She was 24 and so because at the time and just waited patiently.
Yeah. Sure, yeah. And so because of the
moral of like that story is you should always start at the top.
It's like the Star Wars episode.
There's a girl, first door I knocked on, she got baptized. And then the whole rest of the building, everybody said, no. You always start at the top door.
I usually start at the top too. That way I could take the elevator up and work my way down.
I don't want to walk those stairs up.
Yeah. No, it's not fun at all. Anyway, but he talked about being faithful, taking every opportunity, et cetera. So I thought it was a good conference all around, leading us into the rest of the general sessions of Conference Al. What do we expect from this weekend? What are you hoping
for? I'm excited for this weekend. I don't think we're going to get any new apostles. I think the age of the new apostles is done for now.
Is that done for now? We're not going to get
it here
a
first
13th.
On Twim People. My predictions have never been wrong.
Unless something terrible happens in the next like 3 days to one of them.
I'm expecting more refugee sort of chatter. I think that topic still needs some love. I'm also expecting. I don't know. I'm ready for another sort of banner talk from a Holland or a Nukedorf, or even I'd give it to a Razband. I'd say, come on, he's my up and comer. He's my dark.
See,
horse.
I'm pulling for Renland is my dark horse right now. I feel like Renland is the one speaking for the everyman.
Renland's got some
moves. If you had to pick an apostle who was a member of a union from New Jersey, you would assume it was Renland. That's what I'm saying. He's the Springsteen of the 12.
Scrap him for Crutchy.
So, yeah. Doctrinally, I don't know if we'll have... I'm not expecting anything other than the boilerplate.
Any new temples?
Well, we will be set...
We're at a smooth... What are we at? We're at a smooth 200 right
now.
Nah,
we're like 150... 3 or something like that. I don't
know. It was 150. That was the right
I don't remember.
There was a round number.
I can tell you exactly if you... Yes, we're at 152 now that Philadelphia has been dedicated.
No. Announced? How many are announced?
Out of total announced or under construction and dedicated, we have 177. 177 exist in some form. Oh, yeah.
Do we get more? Is there a temple announcement? Did we get one last conference?
Yeah, last conference. I think it was last conference when they announced the second one in Lima, Peru. Remember that? That was a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
They announced one in Belém, Brazil, Quito, Ecuador, and Harare, Zimbabwe.
How long? It's been 6 months. It all runs together.
So as far as new temples, we will have an article. Normally I have this up earlier, but because of travels and such, I have not taken care of it yet. I'm still pulling for Rogers, Arkansas, or Bentonville, Arkansas. Northwest Arkansas is woefully underserved.
It's booming.
They need a temple up there.
They need a temple and they need an airport. Those guys, they either drive 4 hours to Kansas City or 4 hours to Oklahoma City.
Yeah, really? They drive all the way up to Kansas City, huh? They don't just drive down to Little Rock?
Little Rock doesn't have a meaningful airport.
Well, not a meaningful airport. No, clearly not.
Bentonville has an airport, technically.
But I think they are due. And we will have on our website, folks, I have produced a beautiful a Google map that's a live Google map you can search around with that does the 200-mile radius standard, as referenced by President Monson years ago, saying that most of the church membership was within 200 miles of a temple. So showing a dot where the temple is, and then a radius around it to demonstrate gaps in coverage, if you will. So you will be welcome to go on our website and play around with that map if you want to see.
What are the most interesting gaps you see?
Let me load her up while we're here.
Wait, send me a link. I want to see it.
Do you, though?
Whatever, Jeff.
I mean, last night we talked about this, and I'm not going to lie. You did not seem impressed. This is what you were doing. You were Josh Jamesing me, basically.
I just try to never be impressed with anything you do so that you don't get a big head.
And that way I keep working for your approval.
Right.
Right. Well, that makes perfect
sense.
Unlike
the Marines, I break you down and then I build you back up in the way that I want you to be.
Okay, here, let me share this with you. This thing will probably take a while to load for anybody who does it. So if you have, DSL, don't waste your time. Is all I'm saying. Al, I'm going to G-chat this to you.
Yeah, hurry up, Jeff.
It's coming. It's coming.
Copy, paste.
There you go. Oh. So as far as gaps in coverage, well, that part of Arkansas, the middle of Kansas doesn't get a lot of love, but also no one lives in the middle of Kansas, least of all church members, so
yeah,
that's fair. Parts of Mexico, though, are underserved.
So we had that coming.
So if you really look at the U.S., the main gaps are that part of Kansas and then that neck of Arkansas. And also the Tallahassee area is slightly out of it. So maybe the Florida Panhandle could get some love. I don't think there's the membership there to support that sort of scenario. But I'm still a big believer in Rogers, Bentonville, wherever.
Oh, Jeff, look at this. This is great, huh?
Northwest Arkansas needs some love, folks.
Well, what about the, center of Nebraska, South Dakota. I guess that is where no one lives, though.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, because South Dakota, you could see one in Rapid City. There's been talk of a Rapid City temple. It's still pretty far from Fort Collins or from Billings or from Bismarck. And there are some members in that neck of the woods. Rapid City is the biggest city in South Dakota. I believe it's bigger than Bismarck, North Dakota, for that matter. So there's reason to believe that they could maybe get a little bit of love. Perhaps. Other popular ones I've heard about, and then we'll move on real quick. I still think Managua, Nicaragua has a decent shot at some point. Nicaragua right, now...
That name is made up,
obviously. Nicaragua now is the only Central American country, other than Belize, that does not have a temple yet. They have a lot of stakes. Basically, on paper, they seem to have everything to legitimize a temple being there. So we could see that happening. And I think Cape Verde might also be a candidate, which would be far removed. And lastly, I'm going to give some love to Brasilia, Brazil. I think they might be deserving. And what the heck, let's say that Budapest gets a temple just to cover more of Eastern Europe. Mm. Also,
Budapest? Is that what you said?
Yes, also Saudi Arabia.
Well, Saudi would be amazing.
Yeah, right. Like that. Because that's going to happen. I think if we built a temple in the Middle East, it would probably be in Abu Dhabi. That would be my guess. But I don't think that's going to happen. So we'll publish an article.
You said a Budapest temple?
There's been some talk about it. It's not like the church is gangbusters throughout the region, but it could just help those. Most of the area of Eastern Europe either goes to Kyiv or to Freiburg, Germany.
Budapest was a great city, by the way.
Budapest has a stake. Vienna could also get a temple, but I think they'd want to push farther east just for geographic reasons. Give it to Budapest. Albania has a stake, at least. Church is doing okay in Romania. So it could help a little bit, I think. But I still don't know if that would happen.
Or do you go south to, like, Bucharest?
I don't think Romania deserves it, though. They don't even have a stake there yet. They need a stake. You got to have a stake,
it's true. They haven't worked hard enough.
Also, the Star Valley...
I know some Romanian missionaries. They're not putting in the time.
Yeah. And Star Valley, Wyoming Temple, too. Because now that we're into doing two temples in a city, like Lima's going to get. So I think Star Valley will clearly get a second temple.
Okay.
I'm joking. Anywho, keep an eye out, folks, on the exciting world of temple tracking. Maybe I'll update the map with predictions. See, I've got these 200... mile circles in different colors.
Yeah, I'll turn on and off the predictions.
I'll make a prediction color as well, and we'll put those around so we can really see what's going on.
I love what you've done here. Really good work.
Oh, thank you kindly. We're already running long, short on time.
We're trying to do a short show this week because you got to fly in an hour.
Yeah. Here's what I want to talk about. Most and least expensive LDS missions. Just a quick
thing. Now, this is according to the senior missionary...
This is not what
they're paying to have 20-year-olds.
And I'm pretty sure we actually
spoke about a 50-year-old cush life.
Yeah, I think we might have even spoken about this a long time ago. Come to think of it.
Yeah, but we have no surprise here. Well, actually, the most expensive. I always heard the most expensive was Japan.
You hear that a lot. Yes.
It's not even on the list.
I don't know what to tell you. Well, big surprise, the least expensive ones are Latin America. People would maybe think Africa, because Africa is even more impoverished. But the problem is, it's so expensive getting to Africa and providing more.
What about Thailand or something would have to be cheaper than this?
No, man. Latin America, Latin America.
You're spending $2 for a massage on the beach in Thailand. There's no way you're spending $1,300 a month on housing.
It's a fair point, Al. I also heard that
I don't trust this list at all. Who wrote this?
Some idiot is what
I'm guessing. Standard Lynn Arave from the Standard Examiner. I trust that she has no idea how to run Excel.
All right, Al, move along. Nothing to see here.
I love it. Let's see. The other main ones we've got. We have these elders in Montana made a rap video. James the Mormon, you've been called out. We expect your response to the first discussion rap soon.
How do we... I really don't care, right? But at the end of the day, they had to spend time creating all of this.
I like that they were fake washing their cars in their proselyting.
And rap music is not approved listening music. So they made music that they can't even listen to.
But they did. So, like, I would assume this is done on a preparation day. And it actually, you know, that would be a great activity for a preparation day. This would be a very memorable thing. The videos I made on my preparation days were not nearly as
well. It wasn't advanced back then. I mean, we still had film cameras and all kinds of, you know, it was just...
That's true, man. It's weird to feel old, but we had to click a button and then wait and get it developed.
Now they all take their SD card and be like, cool. I'm just going to buy another SD card.
This will last me my whole mission. I just need to fit 5,000 photos.
They're so much more wasteful, though, with the photos they take now that they have SD cards, which is both good and bad. But, I mean, I was judicious, right? I had 24 frames. I had to make good use of those. Oh, well.
And then you'd like... size up the picture, try and take it, and it wouldn't be just right. Yeah.
All right. Here's a good I thought this was worth a read. Over at our friends at By Common Consent, an article called "You Want the Church to Be a Corporation, Really?" Now, especially in the Mormon blogosphere, there are many who don't like the sort of corporate nature and structure of the church, right?
It was interesting. Did you see this week too? On I was on Reddit, and there's a big Mormon Church Docs leak.
No,
and essentially they just leaked, like, it was like paying the water bill, and I mean, it was just like, they're like, yeah, but the big thing is that the church operates like a business, like they have payroll and stuff, and I was like, yeah.
Well, yeah, morons. What's interesting?
That was legitimately it. It was like
just water bills.
It was just like the normal transactionary nature of the church, and people were surprised about it because I think they were not expecting it to be a corporation.
So what you're saying is, we did not find out like the operating budgets of, you know, and the stipends of members of the 12. There was not some hard hitting breaks there. So. I get where people come from completely when they talk
about... I would be interested to see
that. When they talk about the corporate church, sometimes we conflate that with the correlated church. I definitely see how those two go together. But this is an interesting article, just as a reminder in some areas, that having a church that's a corporation is not unique to our church. Most other churches organize and file as a corporation in one way or another, and they do this for legal protections and for tax purposes, especially in the United States. So it's not like we're the only ones doing this. And... also, he mentions that during the Catholic sex abuse scandal, when people sued the Catholic Church, they were actually suing the corporation of individual parishes. That's how they were organized, to get compensation. If you were suing individuals like the priests, you would never get compensation. And so,
because they're poor.
So these structures actually protect, and they also did take a vow of poverty.
The abused people as well.
Yes, people are protected in this sense. But I get it. I mean, we're run as a corporation. The 12 often function in many ways as the board of said corporation. But I also think in this day and age, what other way do we have that we would keep all of this organized and functioning appropriately?
Well, it's one of the disenchanting things about, like, when you find some of this stuff out about the church is that, you know, most of the day-to-day operations, are we going to build something here or there? And it's, you know, it's a... well, where do we need it? You know, I think a lot of, similar to how a missionary transfer board works, a lot of temple building likely happens with a, all right, here's a couple of needs that we still have. Do any of these feel right? You know, I'm going to lobby to put one in Bentonville, and you're going to lobby to put one in Budapest, and we're both going to make our case, and then that's
pray about
you know, like
it.
Like you pray about
it. Take it to the Lord. It's just like the way mission
you go
calls.
Off, you go off of your feelings and stuff, but a lot of it is just like we're going to make a presentation. We're going to try and lobby to get this thing done, and see if we can move this through the ranks.
Yeah, and many things are done that way. Mission calls are done based on need. They pray about what to do, but they know they have on.
You can appreciate this would be a surprise to some people, though, that yeah. sort of are under the impression that the church is all lay service, top to bottom, and you're under the impression that that the church, like that every decision is inspired. I actually, you know, I think about Elder McConkie when he would, you know, he gave a talk one time about picking his wife, and he's like, you know, I probably should have prayed about it. It didn't even occur to me to pray about it. It just felt right. So I just went and married her. But like, should I have prayed? Yeah, maybe. I mean, that probably would have been a good thing to do. Like, I knew it was right. So off I went. And it's, you know, there's some of that that I think exists. Just like,
yeah.
Well, we could. I mean, we could seek inspiration on this. But like, the Lord's going to tell us if it's not right. And so I'm just going to go for it.
Well said, Al. By other way of quick mention, the church development wing built a new office building in Salt Lake City. It was dedicated by Bishop Cousey, the presiding bishop. And some have raised eyebrows that he said that this is sacred ground for Mormons. And some are saying, you're telling me an office
Jeff
building
has a theory on this.
Is sacred ground for Mormons?
I think that the office is sacred. And he just doesn't want people playing office chair football.
Or like when Elder Holland sent that letter out and got mad at everybody for the water balloon fights in Helaman Halls, you know? Stuff like that.
I don't remember this.
Anyway, I believe what Bishop Cousey is referring to is that downtown Salt Lake City is sacred ground for Mormons, and the church goes to great lengths to create a nice buffer around Temple Square. And that includes building positive developments like City Creek, like a new office building. So I believe when he says this is sacred ground for Mormons, he means making downtown Salt Lake a worthy, nice
place. I genuinely
place.
Think he just means that, like, the ninth floor of that office building. Is
well,
sacred.
Agree to disagree.
Elder Holland, in a talk that we mentioned last week when he was visiting the London, England, wherever he was, Castle Shire.
Windsor Castle.
He actually made a comment that we didn't pick up on then, but he said he denounced female genital mutilation. Being the first apostle to call that out specifically is a bad practice. So apparently that's still a thing in many or in some areas of the world.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Don't mutilate your genitals.
No.
Says Holland.
And it's a big deal because it's the first time a top level church leader has said it. It's not like it hasn't been said before and they haven't worked on this for decades in Africa and such, but it's the first time an apostle level individual has mentioned it. Well, I'm good beyond that. How are you feeling?
I'm doing great, Jeff. Everybody, you can reach us, contact at This Week in Mormons or thisweekinmormons.com. Follow along with us this weekend as we dive into the world of General Conference.
Please
as
do.
As always, we're on.
Which you can do on Twitter, at TheRealTwim. Yeah. Follow us on Facebook, which is just facebook.com/thisweekinmormons. So, you know, spend some time with us. We always enjoy conference weekend because we're able to interact with a lot of you and, you know, really get into it. And the great thing I love about social media during conference is you see other people's insights, especially on Twitter, and stuff I might not think about. And so it's pretty useful. So
classic case of groupthink, if you ask me.
All right, buddy. So thanks for listening, Al. You take care, buddy. Have good travels.
Fly safe, Jeffrey.
Thank you, buddy. Thanks for listening to TWIM, everybody. We'll talk to you after conference where we will recap it once more. Have a good one.